Morning, carrying on Hilchos Sefer Chofetz Chaim. On we're doing Rechidus at the moment. Klal Vov Sif Zayin. We started this on Friday. V'chol Zehu Bezman HaTalmud, referring to, we've just talked about previously, Mehemen Le'Kvetre. Someone's believed like two. That means you trust somebody absolutely. He knows absolutely trustworthy. Can believe him like two. However, that was only at the time of Gomorrah, and no longer applies. Aval hayom lefi ma sheskimu haposkim. The poskim concur. Shein lo odom lo. A person can't say sheplona mehemele kabeitre, that a person is believed like two. One can't say that. Delo meshaka, that doesn't tell a lie. Al kain osolo lekabel dvorov b'shum ofen. So if you hear somebody who you thought is like a kabeitre, as usual, you cannot believe what he says. Rak lochosh bilvad. You can take precautions, you can protect yourself, but you don't believe the actual Lashon Hara. V'lachavi, even without this limitation, ein motzei sheyishlem kol atanoim shaniskorim b'sifim heivo. It is not usual that all the conditions which are mentioned earlier are fulfilled. And because of this, we can see that number of people make a mistake in this matter. They're careful about speaking Lashon Hara, Urechilus, Urechilus, the Kabbalosom, and believing of it. If they hear it from other people. Other people, he puts here, saying non-relatives. But they believe it if they hear it from their father or their mother or their wives. They're thinking these people, close family, will definitely lie to them. So it must be true.
Won't lie.
Won't lie. This is a complete mistake. He ain't chiluk b'zeh. There's no difference in this at all. Bain le'el b'chelik aleph b'chlal ches sif yud dalet. V'lekamon b'chlal zayin sif hei. Just carrying on a little bit till the speaker arrives.
Speakers, I've seen him downstairs.
Right, but till he arrives upstairs. So we're now up to sif zayin. Din isur kabolus ruchilus hu afilu me'masiach lefi tumo. The prohibition. Well, actually, we just started. We'll carry on tomorrow in Mitzvah Hashem. Start your day with Terryway, Northwest London, Sunday, Aleph Kislev, 22nd of December. Rabbi Shmuley Noe Shliza.
Can you use Ruach HaKodesh to Paskin Halacha?
Can you use Ruach HaKodesh to Paskin Halacha? This week, Torah has sponsored the Schos of Hoshim, Chol Chalif.
Amen. Thank you. Morning, everyone. It's very nice to be able to be back here again and go through a sugya which Ravad Yosef in his Chuvas in Rabbi Yoim Achelik Aleph Simem Aleph. Ravad Yosef says, "Dover zehu miktsoya gadol b'toyra." This topic of whether you can and can't rely on Ruach HaKodesh or dreams or baskel in halacha is a very big topic in the Torah. So there's a Chuv in Yad Eliyahu, Chelik Aleph Simem Gimel, where he discusses, for example, a person has a piece of treif. The person has a treif of chicken that he doesn't know which one it is, and it fell into other chickens. And he has no way of knowing which one it was, and there was no shishim. There wasn't 60 times the treif of chicken to the kosher, kosher chicken for the treif chicken. But he has Ruach HaKodesh, and you can see straight through which chicken is the treif for one. He has no right except through Ruach HaKodesh. Can you rely on Ruach HaKodesh to paskin that shaila, and can he not? And we'll see that this topic of relying on Ruach HaKodesh in halacha is very connected to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, Mitzvah Shem, Habolim, Lotov, later on this week. So, let's start with the Gemara in Shabbos, Tav Chofal, from the base, the Sugya of Chanukah. We'll go through the sugya of Chanukah and a few questions on the Gemara and on Tosfos, and then from there we'll move on to the sugya of Ruach HaKodesh, and we'll come back to answer the Gemara. The Gemara says in Chafal from the base, My Chanukah, what's the answer of Chanukah? So the Gemara goes through that when the Yevonim, when the Greeks went into the Heichal, Timukol Ashmanim Sheba Heichal, they were metame all the oils in the Heichal. Ukshagovra Malchus Beis Hashmenoi, and when the Yiddish kingdom, when the kingdom of Hashmenoi were able to be stronger, Vinitzchum, and they were able to overpower the Yevonim, Botku Veloimotsu, they checked and they were unable to find Elo Pach Echot Shel Shemen, only one drug of oil. This jug was Munach, had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. As we know, the story carries on. And that jug of oil, which should have only lasted for one day, lasted for 8 days. And then the next year, they made the Yom Tov, that this single jug of oil that they found was able to last for 8 days. Now Tosfos asks Akasha that even if the jug of oil has a seal from the Kohen Gadol, so therefore we know that no goy had been metame the jug of oil, the maga, but asks Tosfos, the Chazal were goyzer that nochri has din of a zov, which means he's metame even if he just carries the jug. Even Thomas Hesed, he should be metame. So therefore, what does it help to find the jug of oil which is sealed? It could be the goy picked up the jug of oil and was metame the jug of oil anyway. The seal won't show if someone touched it. So Tosfos says, "Tzorech loyma shay munach b'choisim bekarka." Has to be that they found it buried in the ground. Shaloi hisitu akli, they could tell that the goy, the Yevonim, hadn't actually carried the oil at all. That's what Tosfos says. The Rimul Neil says a different teretz. He says it could be that they were able to see that no goy had carried the oil by the fact that the jug was whole. All the other jugs had been smashed because the goyim wanted to see, the Yevonim wanted to see what was in the jugs. Was it oil? Was it something else? If they found a single jug which had a seal on it and was whole and hadn't been smashed, then it has to be nobody that actually picked it up. Those are the two Malachim, Tosfos, and the Rima Rina, how they knew that no goy had actually carried the oil. But Rashi, B'divrei Masal B'choisomoy, says something else. Rashi says B'choisomoy, B'atznei, was hidden. V'chosom, B'tabatoy, it was sealed with a tabas, with a signature, with a ring of the Kohen Gadol, v'hikir, and they were able to tell shaloi nogu boy, that nobody had actually touched the jug of oil. Rashi doesn't say what the hikir means. They were able to tell. How were they able to tell? Rashi doesn't say. What does it mean, Rashi v'hikir? They were able to tell shaloi nogu boy. Could be Rashi learns like Tosfos that they were able to tell because it was hidden in the ground. Could be Rashi means that they were able to tell because it was whole, it wasn't smashed. But Rashi keeps it vague. V'hikir. What does v'hikir mean? Another kasha in the Gemara is the lashon of the Gemara bodku, they checked v'lo imotzu ela pach echad. If you're searching for something bodku, it should be chipsu, they were looking for it. Bodku seems like they were doing a bedikah, they were checking for something. And the lashon v'lo imotzu ela pach echad shel shemen. Surely you should just say bodku v'motzu pach echad. They searched and they found the jug of oil. What's the lashon of bodku v'lo imotzu ela pach echad shel shemen? One final kasha in the Gemara is a very famous question related to last week's parasha, the end of the Omot Chofalof Omot Beis. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Kahana, Ner Shel Chanukah Shenicha Lamala Mechof Amma. If you have a Ner of Chanukah that you put higher than 20 Ammas, Psula, it's possible, Kasuka, like a Sukkah, higher than 20 Ammas is possible, like a Mobu, and like a Mobu also, the Hekka has to be lower than 20 Ammas, like the Mishnah says, reading of Masechus Sukkah, and the beginning of Erevin. And then the Gemara carries on and says, Omer Rav Kahana, another Joshua Rav Kahana, the boy, the pit that Yosef HaTzadik was put into had no water, but it certainly had something else. What did it have? Had nechoshim akravim, had snakes and scorpions. And everyone over the generations has asked, and I think the Chador writes, a lot of ink has been spilt on this Gemara, what is the connection between these two statements from Rav Kahana, these two mamon from Rav Kahana? Number one, that the Ner Chanukah has to be lower than 20 Amos, and number two, that the boy had no water but had something else. And if you'll allow me, a few questions also on the Loshon of Haneris Halalu. Alidei Kainecha HaKadoshim. Why, when we say Haneris Halalu after we light the first candle of the menorah, do we specify that the Kahanim were Kainecha HaKadoshim, they were holy? Why can't we just say Alidei Kainecha? And then we carry on Elul Reis and Bavod Halach about the Chiyuv to see the Menorah, B'chol Shemes Mechanikah. What's the whole Loshon of Haneris Halalu? Needs a little bit of explanation. And I think also no Shir on Hanukkah would be complete without mentioning, obviously, the famous kasha of the Beis Yosef, the Simon Tofresh Am, who asks, why do you have 8 days? Surely we should only have 7 days. Okay, so let's move over to discuss a little bit the sugya of Ruach HaKodesh in Halacha, and then we'll be able to come back and answer these Hanukkah-related questions. The first Maramokim, the obvious go-to Maramokim to discuss whether you can or can't rely on Ruach HaKodesh in Halacha, is the Gemara Bo Metzia Daf Nun Testament Base. Everyone knows the famous Gemara by the Tanu Shalachnoi, the Machloikus between Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua, whether a Tanu Shalachnoi, a certain type of oven, which had been broken and then rebuilt with sand in between different layers, is that oven Makabal Toma, is that oven not Makabal Toma? Now the Lomdus of the why yes, why not isn't Negev for now, but what is most Negev is very interesting, the discussion that happened between Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. So Omalohem, so he said to them, is like me, this tree should prove that I'm right. So the tree jumped up and moved 100 amas. So they said, no, you can't bring a raya, ain't moving raya min achoruv. So he tried something else. If Aloch is like me, then this body of water should prove that I'm right. And then the body of water got up and moved. And they said to him, the Chom said to him, ain't moving raya min amasamayim. Chazav omulam, he said to him, Aloch kamoisi. Then the walls of the Beis HaMikdash should prove that I'm right. And then the walls were about to start crumbling. And then next thing he said, if Aloch is like me, then Shomayim itself should prove that I'm right. And a baskol came out, and a baskol said that you are 100% right. Reb Lezer, don't argue. The Aloch HaKamoyis v'chamokem. So what did Reb Yehoshua do? Reb Yehoshua got up and said, Torah, loy, b'shamayim. We don't care what the baskol says. If you think about it, it's a fascinating thing. Our whole Torah comes from Shomayim. But to the point that what we know says klal in the Torah, and then it's for us to try and make sure we understand it with a klalim of how we are meant to learn and understand Torah. Torah loy b'shamayim. What does it mean loy b'shamayim? Says the Gemara, shekvar nitnu Torah mehar Sinai. Torah has already been given from Har Sinai. Ein onu mashkichim bebasko. We don't care what the basko says. And Torah explains there in Bo Metzia Nuntes that the loch was gepaskin. Therefore, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shua, no matter how many rais he brought to himself. And therefore, we don't rely on the baskel. So, seemingly from this Gemara, would seem to show that Torah Levishmami, clear cut, can't rely on any simon, any proof, any heavenly voices, any Ruach HaKodesh, anything cannot be relied on, Bechlal for Halacha. Oh, right, it's a good point. Would we say, I've lumped them all together, Ruach HaKodesh and baskel, and also heavenly dreams, when in truth, there are those that would, and maybe we'll come on to that later, are they actually exactly the same? Some say a baskel is mamish mamish shomayim. It's like a heavenly voice. That's called Torah b'shamayim. Whereas Ruach HaKodesh is much less shomayim dig. And therefore, perhaps one could rely, or perhaps definitely not. Right? You could in a way say Ruach HaKodesh is even less reliable than a baskel, because a baskel is really a heavenly voice. Or you could say the Ruach HaKodesh is more reliable, because there's more of a human being involved in the process of Ruach HaKodesh, whereas a baskel is less so. So I'm not sure.
Not the kind of
nevuah. I'll be honest. I don't know much about Ruach HaKodesh or nevuah, but I did see the Derech Hashem says the Ruach HaKodesh is like the levels before nevuah. So it's on the steps of nevuah. So, sorry.
Baskel, everybody can hear Ruach HaKodesh. You have to trust the person saying it.
Right. So you're right. Perhaps we can say they're different, but for now, let's just put them all together as non. Standard halachic ways of passing a shayla that they're more to do with Shema. The Lashon of the Rambam in Perek Tes Halachas Yisoyde HaTorah Halacha Dalet, this is, says the Gaba Novi Sheker, and the Rambam says very very strongly, if we know something Halacha Meshem Sinai and a Novi comes to uproot it, oy o sheomar bedin midinei Torah. Or even even if he's not coming to uproot and say, oh, we don't need to keep Shabbos, even if he's coming to say, in this halacha kedivrei ployni, he's a novi sheker, he's chayv misa. Even if he comes with a proof, because he's coming to deny the Torah, sha'omra loy b'shamayim. So the Rambam paskens like this. The Shaila of the Rambam shlims the Torah says then shab in Bar Metzia. But according to the Rambam paskens like this Gemara, because of Torah Lo B'Shamayim, that no Novi has the power or the right to go against what the Torah says, or even to say Halacha Kedivrei Ploni. Even if he's not uprooting Hilchas Arba Minim, he's just paskening that that's possible and that's kosher and something that's a machloikus. Harei Zeh Yichonik is Chayav Chenek. That's it would seem very strong from the Gemara and from the Rambam. There's no two ways about it, that the Torah has to be paskened in only in a normative fashion and not through the use of any kind of heavenly spiritual power, no matter what that may be. Oh, very good. Tishbu. I'm going to come to that in a second. What about Tishbu Yitatz Kushus V'Aboyes? No, I'll say it now. Tishbu Yitatz Kushus V'Aboyes, very interesting. Yibleib Gurvitz and Yivomus writes that sometimes the Gemara says Tishbu Yitatz Kushus V'Aboyes, and sometimes the Gemara says Yehimunach Achio V'Elio. He says, when does the Gemara say Loshna Velio? When does the Gemara say Tishbu Yitaretz Kushis V'Boyes? He says, Tishbu Yitaretz is talking about when there's a halachic question which 100% can't be answered through an Elio Hanovi, because we need to have somebody physical. And Tishbu is Loshna of returning, so when Elio Hanovi comes back in his physical form, then he'll be able to paskin. That's exactly why the Gemara doesn't say Elio should paskin. It's Taka Tishbu, when Elio Hanovi returns as a physical person. So where I think more some says Elio Novi, that will come to soon. That I'll say for soon. Oh, yes, we're going to come to that in a second. The Metzias, if there's a difference between Metzias. So we find there's three or four places in the Torah, itself, where Ruach HaKodesh was relied on. Nevuah was relied on. Ruach HaKodesh was relied on. So for example, in Parshas Vayera, Ba'Avimelech, the Torah says, Va'ato Hoshev Eishes Ish, Hashem told Avimelech, you can return the wife of Avram, Sarah, to Avram. Ki novihu, because Avram's a novi. And Rashi explains the name of the Medrash, that Avram knows that nothing happened between Avimelech and between Sarah, and therefore he can return her and Avram will take her back. How on earth could Avram Avinu rely on Nevuah to take a novi? Right? There's no Eidus, there's nothing. How can you rely on Nevuah to take back his wife Sarah? Perhaps she was offered to him from a din of Eishes Ish. Avram relied on Nevuah. Yaakov Avinu, in last week or 2 weeks ago, Pasha Torah writes, we know he married two sisters. And everyone asks, how could Yaakov marry two sisters? The Moral says, he had Ruach HaKodesh, and he knew that the Rotsan Hashem was, he should marry two. Now, there's many answers to this question. Before Matan Torah, yeah, there's a number of answers. But the Moral writes, he had Ruach HaKodesh, and he was able to see that his destiny was to, yes, marry two sisters. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Hei, very interesting. The Gemara says about the Mon. The Torah says, V'hamon kezer gad lovon. The Mon was like a white seed. Says the Gemara, what's the lashon of God? Says the Gemara, God shemagid lahem li Yisrael. The mom would show Klal Yisrael if a child was a ben zayin from one father. Let's say the lady who got married, and then she got divorced and got remarried. Then she had a child 7 months later. And we don't know if that child born is from the second husband born at 7 months, or the child born was from the first husband born at 9 months. So says the Gemara, the mom would prove where this child was from. Because if the new married couple had now a third portion of Mon landing at their doorstep, then you knew obviously that the child was theirs. Whereas if the Mon extra portion landed at the first husband's door, then you knew really it was his portion of Mon. Now we didn't just rely on this for a bit of extra food. This means the child would be Yoyrush, and if he was over Kibbud Av V'Em in a way that's Chayav Malkus, if he caused his father an injury, then he would get the Oynish. Right? We relied on this fully, wherever the Mon landed. Right? So again, we're relying on something. You're right, it's not Ruach HaKodesh or Baskel, but something heavenly and spiritual. It's certainly Torah Lo B'Shamayim, and relying on this Mon to say exactly what Aloch is. The Gemara says that the same thing applies to two people come to Moshe Rabbeinu for Din Torah, a husband and a wife. And the wife would say it's the husband's fault, and the husband would say it's the wife's fault. Clearly this is an old argument which has been going on for thousands of years. And then Moshe Rabbeinu would say, we'll see who's right by where the Mon lands tomorrow. If the Mon lands in her father's house, then it's a proof that the husband is right, and she should return home. Whereas if the Mon would land in his home, then it's a proof in their joint home as a couple, then it's a proof that the husband is right. I don't know which way around it is. Im nimtza oinu beis baila, yeah, if it's in the husband's home, then she is wrong and she has to go away. If it's at the father's home, then he is wrong. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu would paskin. which is very strange. Moshe Rabbeinu would sit and pass in Shailas based on where the Mon landed. So we've got a few places which seem to be against the Gemara saying you can't rely on heavenly things. And Fakir, it seems to be that you can rely on Simonim from Shemaim. So I just point out that Chassan Sofer says in Torah Moshe Pashim Shalach that Avada Moshe didn't paskin using the Mon. Moshe paskin with normative ways of paskining, but it was like an extra proof to show that he was right with where the Mon would land. It wasn't really his way of paskining. But a simple reading of the Gemara and certainly the Medrash by Avimelech would seem that Novi who you can rely on for. So some say, like Reb Cheskel was saying, that this is all Koidim Matan Torah. Or Moshe Rabbeinu was L'acha Matan Torah, but within the first 40 years, when the Eden were in the Midbar, and the Eden was still learning Torah, and it was the Torah hadn't yet said Torah L'B'Shemayimi. The Pasuk of Lo B'Shemayimi Leimer Mi'yal Elon HaShemayim was in Pashav Ha'Elech. So all these stories happened either prior to Matan Torah, or prior to Lo B'Shemayimi. But of course you can't paskin using Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah post the Matan Torah and the 40 years in the Midbar. And therefore, for emphasis all this, which would mean that nowadays, post the era of the Ovis and the era of the 40s and the Midbar, any way of passing Shailas that's not a normal way of passing through the use of Shulchan Aruch and Torah B'Siyas of Rambam would totally be out. That's what would come out. However, we do find that there were, even after the times of the Torah, there were Tanoim and Amirom and Rishonim and even Achronim that did Paskin Shailas using Ruach HaKodesh. Now, again, like Rav Avadya said, this is a huge Miktsoya, and I'll just try and pick on a few examples that I came across. So, number one, a very interesting Gemara and Shabbat stuff, Lamed Aleph. Everyone knows the Gemara that Hillel was asked by a few different people, they want to be Megaya on one leg, be Megaya on the other. One of the people said, I want to be Megaya, I'll Manasseh become a Kohen Gadol. That's what Goy said. I want to become the Kohen Gadol. So Hillel said, no problem, we'll take you right in. He took him in, he was Megaya him, and then he started teaching him Torah. And then they came to the pasuk that says, Hazor HaKorev Yumos. If somebody is a Zor, if he's not a Kohen, he can't do that Avodah. So the Goy said to him, the Ger, now said to him, well, what does that mean? So he said, that means even if you like David HaMelech, you can't be the Kohen Gadol. So he said, wow, if David HaMelech can't be the Kohen Gadol because he's not a Kohen, then of course I can't be the Kohen Gadol. And then he let go of his dream of being Kohen Gadol. But Lamaisi, he stayed there from Yid, and the Gemara says how amazing Hillel was. Beshama just pushed him away, but Hillel was able to spend time and bring him in, and eventually became a Yid, and without needing to become the Kohen Gadol. Now, Tosfos in Yevamos asks the question, we all know that Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Geiros, if somebody is Megaya because of money or because they want to marry, if you have a non-Jewish man who wants to be Megaya to marry a Jewish lady or vice versa, the Bezdin won't let them unless we know 100% sure that their motives are totally pure, they want to join the Jewish nation. How could Hillel HaZaken be Megaya this Ger? All he wanted to do was become the Kohen Gadol. He should have said this, I'm really sorry, your motives are not pure and you have to go. Says Tosfos, Hillel was Botuach. He was absolutely certain that Batuach Hoya Hillel the Sofer Las L'Shem Shemaim. He was certain. How is he certain? So Tshuva Shai writes in Siman Tov Kuf Chavov, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, Hillel had Ruach HaKodesh, he saw the Ger coming to him, and he knew this Ger would be a really good deed one day, and he knew he'd be able to get away with the Kohen Gadol bit. He was Megayim. How was Hillel able to go against a halacha of not allowing converts to join Klal Yisrael for ulterior motives, just through the use of Ruach HaKodesh? And Hillel was long after the times of the Torah. The Gemara Yevamos, the Kuf Chav Beis, when it discusses the can you allow a lady to get remarried if we're not sure what happened to her husband. So one of the things the Mishnah says is Masina Pi Basko. If we hear a Basko that the husband's dead, the lady can remarry. Don't need to aid them, a Basko is enough. And there's a big machlokas. Does it mean literally a Basko? Does it mean a man's voice, but we don't know where the man is? What does it actually mean? The Ochr Aner says, Kepshuto means a basko. If you hear a heavenly voice saying that the man is dead, the lady can remarry. I'll mention one more example, which I found very interesting, fascinating, mind-blowing. In today's generation, not quite today, but nearly today, Reb Chona Halpern writes in a Sefer Yofasi Choson, that he went to visit Reb Itzikul of Shevosk, of Antwerp, and they were talking about the sugya of Torah B'Shemayimi, and Reb Itzikul said that he himself, so Reb Chona writes this, that he was told by Reb Itzikul, that Reb Itzikul said he sat once by the Shin of Arov, and they gave him a glass of wine to drink. They gave the Shin of Arov, the Divrei Cheskel, a glass of wine to drink, and somebody whispered to the Shin of Arov that this wine is, it's not kosher, it's Yayin Esef. So he picked it up, he looked at it for 10 minutes, he looked, he said, I don't see anything wrong, Bo Priya Gofen, drank it in Lachaim.
The
Shin of Eruv. As a shot Reb Chonan's on Sefer. And Reb Itzik said to Reb Chonan, I don't understand. Torah Le B'Shamami. The Shin of Eruv paskened using Ruach HaKodesh. Right? So that's not so. Reb Chonan was, doch from our. We were all zocher to meet him. A little bit further back, I saw very interesting Padas Yosef Pasha Vayero quote that the Avnezer was the son-in-law of the Kotzka, and Avnezer said he learned from his shver the Kotzka. Avnezer wrote Chuvas and Chuvas and Chuvas. He learned from his shver the Kotzka had to paskin a piece of meat based on the smell. If it smells bad, it's treif. If it smells good, and he said he was not so refined in his ability to paskin using Ruach HaKodesh, but his shver the Kotzka was so refined. He could even paskin where the matzah was shmura or not shmura. He could only paskin treif or not treif. The Kotzka was able to paskin shmura and not shmura, which is again seems that paskining shailas through the use of Ruach HaKodesh. There's a tight from the Noda Behuda up here, Maisa Shahoya. Noda Behuda says that the Gemara says in Shabbos, when by the Sugar of Shem Bechai, Asida Toish the Shtakach Mi Yisrael Toh will be forgotten. So the Gemara says, you know what that means? A lady will take a basket of truma, and she will go around to all the botik and see the bottom rejoicers, and she'll ask, is this Tommy, is this Torah? Nobody will know. Says the Noda Behuda, why do I have to take the basket of truma to the Rav? Just ask the Rav, this is the story, that's what happened, a fly fell here, there is my, why do I have to bring the basket to the shul? So says the Noda Behuda, that's from the Gemara, because maybe sometimes they would paskan using Ruach HaKodesh. So you'd have to bring the basket, just like the Avnezer and also the Maaseh Baal Shem was able to see on a piece of chicken if it's treif or not. So they would need to bring the basket to the Beis HaMedrash for the Chachorim to paskin if it's good or not. And they would look at it and they would paskin. So we see that the use of Ruach HaKodesh and the like was used, Hillel, Baskel, Reb Itzik, it was used to paskin Shalas as is possible. So the answer is, the Torah Tamim and others say, Rebbe Chonan Vasson writes as well, many Achronim say, like Rebbe Dudi was saying, there's a difference between whether you're paskening a halacha or paskening a metzias. So for example, if we have a question, a sukkah higher than 20 amos, is it kosher? Is it possible? Machlokes in the Mishnah, what's the din? We don't know. Rise from sukkim, reasons in the Gemara. For that, you can't use Ruach HaKodesh to pasken. The halacha is a sukkah needs to be lower than 20 amos. So the halacha is it can be higher. You can't use Ruach HaKodesh for that. But when it comes to paskening something which is a fact, was Avimelech Mezana with Sarah? Was he not? Did a Sheret touch the truma? Did they not? Did a Goy touch the swine? Did he not? Which piece of the chicken is the treifa piece? Is it that piece? Is it not? Was this matzah baked using this type of flour, that type of flour? You know, paskening is something kosher or possible. You're paskening the metzias. You're paskening the facts. Where did this piece of chicken come from? So if you're only paskening the metzias, is this geir a genuine geir who will actually be a really good yid, regardless of becoming a kohen gadol? All the examples that we brought, even all the way back to the Torah, most of them, if not all of them, the mon, where's this child from? Is it from there? Is he from there? From there? We're not paskening a halacha, what's the din in this case? We're trying to be mevarer, we're trying to clarify the metzias. And therefore, in a case of clarifying the metzias, therefore, the Achronim say for that a person can rely on Ruach HaKodesh. So therefore we've seen two things. The first thing we've seen is in the times of the Torah and the times of the Ovos and all the way until the Pasuk Lo B'Shamayim Hi, Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah and Baskel would have been allowed to be used to paskin Shailas. And even after that, if somebody generally knows that he has Ruach HaKodesh, he would be allowed to paskin a Shaila as long as he's not paskining a real psak. He's just paskining to clarify where something came from. All he's doing is trying to clarify the Metzias. I'll just, if we have time, add there is a sefer Chuvas Min HaShemayim written by one of the Rishonim, where he asked in dreams lots of different shailas. Mishnah Berurah quotes him. I'll give an example. One place Mishnah Berurah quotes him is a Siman Kuf Yud Beis and Hilchos Yotzros. So Mishnah Berurah discusses: should we say Yotzros? Should we not say Yotzros? Is it a hefsek in Chazaras Hashatz when he starts saying? He said Chachamim Nevoinim. Mechaber says one shouldn't. The Rambam says that one can. And Mishnah Berurah says that the Radvaz writes that from Chuvas Min HaShemayim, he doesn't quote Chuvas Min HaShemayim, but I think that's who he's referring to, they had a dream, and he asked in a dream, who do we paskin like? And in a dream, they told him clearly, you do say Yotzros. So, we see, this is actually not even being Mevarim Metzias, this is a real pure halacha. Baal Shem Tov and Parshas Emor had a dream, the halacha is like the Bach, that we could be Mekel Chodosh B'chutz La'aretz, and one does not need to be Machmir and Chodosh B'chutz La'aretz because of a dream that he had. So again, we see that sometimes the Rikanti in Hilchas Abaminim with a You know, the person was holding the abominim apart, you have to hold them together, because of Yud Kei Vovke, he had a dream, they told him. So we do see that even dreams were used for psak. But that Rav Avadya Yosef says is different. A dream is something which is not mamish nevuah. A nevuah is nevuah. A dream is only a 60th of nevuah. And a dream, he says, you're not mechuv to listen to a dream. A nevuah you're mechuv to listen to, therefore you can't pass on using nevuah. A dream which is only a mashahu, it's only a 60th, and you're not mechuv to listen, because divrei chalei meshav. Therefore, if you feel your dream was a remez min hashamayim, you can rely on it. At the bottom, so what we've seen is that to rely on tov min hashamayim, to rely lo b'shamayim with ruach hakodesh bezman the ovus and koidim at Torah you're allowed to. Ruach HaKodesh, to clarify Metzias, will also be allowed. And a dream, perhaps also, or a feeling that a remez, a story, something like the Vilna Gaon felt, yeah, the remez ben Hashemayim, not to do duchening every single day because of the fire that broke out, some kind of heavenly simon, which isn't Ruach HaKodesh, that could also be relied on. So what's that got to do with Chanukah and the sugya of the Gemara and Shabbos Chofar Levin Beis? The Divrei Yoel and Chanukah says an unbelievable thing. The Divrei Yoel says, you know what Rashi means, that they were able to v'hekiru bo, sorry, they looked at the jug of oil and they realized that it wasn't Tumas Hesed. How did they know? Says the Divrei Yoel that Ruach HaKodesh, the Kehanim HaGdoilim had Ruach HaKodesh, they came back into Beis HaMikdash and they were able to pick up the jug of oil that was found, v'ekiru, they were able to see, shelo nogabo, was never touched. How were they able to see? Because they had Ruach HaKodesh. And through the use of, you can't pass him through Ruach HaKodesh, says the Divrei Yoel, you can pass him through Ruach HaKodesh to be environment Metzias. And they're not passing the halacha, they're passing the no goy, we can see no goy touched this. If that's the case, we know what the halacha is. And that's how they were able to use the jug of oil, because there's no Tumas Hesed, that's what Rashi means. He says, that's why in Haneris Halolu we say, al yedei koyenecha hakadoshim. Because how did the whole mess happen? It happened through Ashura of Ruach HaKodesh and the Kehanim became Kanech HaGdoshim. So therefore we have to mention Kanech HaGdoshim. And that's the Lashon Bodku. What does Bodku mean? They checked. They weren't searching. Bodku, they were boiding. It was this oil touched. V'loi motzu elopach echo. They checked every jug that they found. And this was the only one they could see. But Ruach HaKodesh wasn't touched. And therefore, I want to finish off. What does that have to do with the two Gemaras of Reb Tamchum? What does that have to do with the two Gemaras? The answer to the rest is an amazing thing. How could Reuven put Yosef HaTzadik in the boy with the scorpions? Because he had Ruach HaKodesh. He knew that Yosef HaTzadik would survive. How can you learn Ruach HaKodesh to Tole B'Shemami? Because he wasn't passing a halacha with Ruach HaKodesh. Reuven, when he put Yosef HaTzadik in the boy, was using Ruach HaKodesh to know the Metzias, what will be, is that Yosef HaTzadik will survive, and therefore he can rely on it. So these two Gemaras are very intrinsically linked. The Gemara says Ner Chanukah has to be lower than 20 amos, you can see it, because the whole mess happened through the eyes of the Kehanim that saw that the oil was not tomei through Ruach HaKodesh. So Mamele, that's the next Gemara, that Reuven was able to put Yosef in the bori that had the Choshev HaKram, because he used Ruach HaKodesh to see that nothing bad would come of it. Now, had the answer to this kasha. So he says the first day of Chanukah was a zecher to the nest that the Kehanim had Ashras Ashkhin of Ruach HaKodesh. Klal at that time, where many of them had fallen away, there was a choshech, and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Kehanim a Ruach HaKodesh, a pure Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to see that the oil was not Tumas Hesed. That itself requires a Yom Tov, and for that itself you have the eighth day. So what we see from here is that the whole nest of Chanukah happened through Ruach HaKodesh. Which makes sense why Eleler Oysen Belvod. Yovan was Choshech. Yovan tried to pull Klal Yisrael away from anything to do with Kedusha, from Kedusha Shabbos, from Kedusha Smila, to try and move us away from Kedusha as much as possible. But the Ness of Chanukah happened through Ruach HaKodesh, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving Ashrov of Nevuah, of Ruach HaKodesh to the Kehanim, which enabled them to find the right jug of oil, which is why we have a mitzvah of Eleler Oysen Belvod, that we should also use our eyes. So even though we won't get probably to the level of Ruach HaKodesh, but the more the Yid connects to the light of Chanukah, to the menorah of Chanukah, and the oil of Chanukah, and he looks at the oil, that itself will give him more Kedusha, and more separation from the tumas that go around us, and the mitzvah and that tzchus will become an Am Kodesh, and be zoche to be as good tzedek. Yeah, but the mic, I don't know, I didn't look into it. Yeah, it's also
on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not checking. Except there you are checking. Yeah,
sure, very nice.
Okay, sure.